ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we'd like to welcome everyone for our Sunday feast program. We wish you all a happy new year. It is January 1st, and may it be spiritually prosperous for you with the blessings of Shri Shri Radha Gopi Vallabha. Certainly, Krishna consciousness is a great wealth. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam which describes that the Supreme Lord is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully satisfied in possessing devotional service to Krishna. Indeed, the Lord relishes the activities of such devotees. So we can think of that immediately, but there are also many other verses which give evidence that the wealth we should aspire for in human life is the wealth of Krishna consciousness and the wealth of devotion, which is best asset that one can possibly aspire for. So may you all have a spiritually prosperous Happy New Year. And that is our wish for you. The other night, Wednesday, I guess it was, we were speaking about topic about loving exchanges between devotees, and the foundation of those loving exchanges were based upon devotee's satisfaction in his relationship with Krishna, and how that satisfaction in his relationship with Krishna impacts his relationship with everyone in a very positive and meaningful way. And I guess maybe we'll continue a little bit on that theme, but I would like to first read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Many verses, actually, which discuss this point. but one verse comes to mind. So I'll read that verse, and maybe we can say a few words about it. This is chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita, texts 13 and 14. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukha akshami santushta satatam yogi yatatma dridhanischaya mayaprata manobudhya yo madbhakta same priya. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Purport. Coming again to the point of pure devotional service, The Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. Pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone. Nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8 it is stated, Tate nukampam sushamikshamano bhujana evatma kritam vipakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I am just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is also always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Nirmama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and trouble pertaining to the body, because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He does not identify with the body, therefore he is freed from the conception of false ego and is equipoised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant, and he is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty, therefore he is always joyful. He is a completely perfect mystic because fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual master, and because his senses are controlled, he is determined. He is not swayed by false arguments, because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. Such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare. But a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regular principles of devotional service. Furthermore, the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all his activities in full Krishna consciousness. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Savakaya Chakshum Niditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pascha Chade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So as I was reading this verse in commentary, many of you were probably thinking, wow, that's pretty high. That's out of touch, out of reach. It's nice to hear about it, but what's that got to do with me? Prabhupada thought that too. Yeah, he did. Therefore, he said right at the end of his commentary, I don't know if you caught it, but I did. Prabhupada's in tune with his audience at every moment. He said, such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare, right? But a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regular principles of devotional service. That's it. I mean, that's the key sentence, I guess, if we were to try to make this purport relevant. That's probably a key sentence for everyone to hang their hook on. That so that one doesn't have to be fearful that this is just a fairy tale, the standard of devotional service, or has no connection with me, and therefore why should I even bother to listen to the rest of the lecture? it's attainable, it's perceivable to the degree that one follows the process of devotional service. Is a verse I oftentimes quote in this connection, that devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from material things, these three things come simultaneously and increasingly for a person who's engaged in devotional service. Just as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person who's engaged in eating. So that's tangible. We can all connect with that verse. Any of you have not experienced eating before? Any of you who have been unfortunately deprived of the process of honoring Krishna Prasadam? No. So, if a person's hungry and he begins to eat, there's some pleasure. There's some strength that one will get, especially if he's hungry. Not only that, pleasure, nourishment, his hunger goes away. With each bite. Of course, if he eats too much, then he has a new experience, new fun. Pleasure turns to pain. Nourishment will still go on, and the relief from hunger will still be there. But but it's a phenomena that everyone can directly relate to. And nobody has to ask somebody else for confirmation. Does food taste good? When you're eating it, you don't ask somebody else, can you please confirm for me, does this food taste good? You don't have to confirm with somebody else also, is my hunger going away? Of course, one time I quoted this verse and somebody said, I never know if I'm eating enough or not. What should I do? Completely perplexed Brahmachari who ate tons of prasadam. It was like that for me also in the old days in the 1970s. I remember our temple, I don't want to digress too much, but it was a little austere in 1973 in our temple in Alston. And for breakfast, we were eating just a spoonful of oatmeal, three chickpeas with little ginger, and a quarter of a slice of an orange, and on wax paper. That was generally breakfast. So when the Sunday feast came, boy, if you had a tape recorder, a digital recorder in those days, and placed it on the fourth floor after the Sunday feast, So, anyways, it was pleasurable. It's memorable, but there was a little pain too. We didn't know our limits. But generally, when we're eating, we know if our hunger is going away, if it tastes good, and if we're getting strength from it, generally. So, in the same way, this analogy is given that when one is engaged in devotional service, which is compared to be eating, when one is actually engaged in devotional service, then three things, experiences, take place. First, he experiences devotion will manifest. Devotion, the symptom of devotion is he starts thinking more about Krishna. He starts thinking less of himself. And he starts increasing a desire to please the Supreme Lord. Devotion, the symptoms, characteristics of devotion. Anya balasita sunyam gana kamanya anatam is giving in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the characteristic with devotional service is that one is favorably thinking of pleasing Krishna and he doesn't have any fruitive desire for fruitive gain or for liberation by mental speculation. So devotion increases. Direct experience of the Lord. One begins to perceive the Lord's presence in his life or her life. She begins to see that there's no way this could have happened unless Krishna arranged it. It's amazing. You know, sometimes it becomes much more perceivable that somehow, you know, Krishna is God. I remember I was driving in a van in India. I don't want to digress again, but it's an interesting story since we're telling stories. We're driving in a van on the way from Calcutta to Mayapur, which is generally about a 3-hour drive, especially in that was about 30 years ago. And there was a hired driver driving the van, going through all the different villages. And the driver was driving extremely fast for India roads. But it just so happens that van had got into Calcutta to take me. I had injured my leg, and they were rushing me to some doctor in Calcutta, or something like that. And then a group of devotees were coming back from Calcutta, and I was lying down facing the back, and the other devotees were sitting in the back facing the front. And I was looking at one devotee throughout the entire trip who looked like a 5-year-old child watching a horror movie. I was watching all the expressions. But I was looking the other way. I couldn't see what was going on in front. And when we finally arrived in Mayapur, I think it was about 1.5 hours or 2 hours or something like that, he jumped out of the van. He kissed the ground and said, "Krishna's God! Krishna's God! Krishna's God!" He was rolling in the dust of the Dham. This is direct perception of the direct realization of the presence of Krishna in his life. And of course, I didn't really, as I said, I couldn't see what was going on. I had to lie down facing the back. I knew it sounded like, but he was seeing all the people who were being missed and all the rickshaws that were going into the into the gully. So, well, that's one example. But I mean, all joking aside, we also may be able to realize that get direct perception of the presence of the Lord in our lives in many other ways that are very perceivable, that we feel Krishna's hand in his presence. So devotion increases, direct perception of the Lord increases, And then what happens, just as a person who's eating knows his hunger is going away, a person who's engaged in devotional service knows he's becoming detached from material things. Just as you don't have to ask somebody else, is my hunger going away? You don't have to get confirmation from anybody else. Is my detachment increasing? And my attachment to material things decreasing? It's directly perceivable. That is the power of devotional service. So it's not that by hearing these characteristics of a pure devotee that one has to think that it has no connection with me or my life. One simply has to think, I need to be connected to the process of devotional service. And therefore, Prabhupada, understanding that when one listens or hears, this is only the first verse, there are about 8 verses describing the qualities and characteristics of one who's dear to Krishna, and there's many more characteristics which we won't have time to describe. But nonetheless, it becomes more tangible, accessible, approachable, attainable for those who are engaged in devotional service. Just as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger is very approachable, attainable, accessible for those who eat. Same thing. So if that's not happening, somebody has to ask themselves, am I engaged in devotional service? That's the question. If it works, if it actually works, eating works when I eat. It works. My hunger goes away. So, in the same way, am I engaged in devotional service? So therefore, Prabhupada says, okay, if all these qualities, characteristics seem difficult, far-fetched, and not really relevant to my life, and he says such a standard is rare, but a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regulative principles of devotional service. Regulative principles of devotional service. Sometimes this term is confused. Some people may think when they hear regulative principles of devotional service, they may see or they may remember a devotee at the time of taking initiation. He accepts certain initiated vows, and the spiritual master says, what are the regulative principles? And the disciple who's being initiated will say, no meat eating, fish eating, eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. So, but actually, this is the regular principles of human life. It's actually, when Krishna is talking about regulative principles of devotional service, he's specifically speaking, because Krishna says in this chapter, 12th chapter, Atachita Samaghatam Nashaknosi Maistiram Abhyasi Yogena Tato Mamichaptam Dananjaya. He says, my dear Arjuna, if you can't fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of devotional service, and this way you'll develop a desire to attain me. So is Krishna telling Arjuna, Arjuna, stop eating meat? No illicit sex now. No intoxication. No, he's not saying that. He's saying follow the regulative principles of a devotional service. He means to regulate one's life so that every day one is thinking of Krishna. There's a verse, Smartavyam Satatam Vishnur Vismartavyo Najatu Chit Sarva Viri Nisedasyo Itiyo Eva Kinkara. Krishna must always be remembered. He must never be forgotten. All the rules and all the prohibitions which are given in the scriptures are meant to bring us to that goal, to remember Krishna and never forget him. All the rules, all sarva vidhi nishedashyo iti o eva kinkara. So commentary of this verse, which helps us to understand its meaning, that the goal is to always remember Krishna. And that's also, I mean, that's described here, a characteristic of a one who's situated in Krishna consciousness, pure devotee. He never forgets Krishna for a moment. So one may think, well, here we go again. I'd like to think that I think of Krishna from time to time, but constantly, 24 hours a day? No. So the goal is smartavyam satatam, satatam Vishnu. Satatam means always. Always remember Krishna. Or always remember Vishnu. And don't forget him. So the positive activities, remember him. The prohibited activities, don't forget it. So the scriptures also provide positive activities and prohibited activities. So in this verse, it's being recommended to accept the positive activities and to avoid the prohibited activities. Now, the thing is, and this is an important point, if you can follow my logic. If we're always remembering Krishna, why do we have to think about not forgetting him? It seems pretty obvious. If we're always remembering him, why do we have to think about the prohibited activities? Don't forget him. Don't. So, for one who's always thinking about Krishna, the vidhis, the prescribed activities, and the nishedhas, the prohibited activities, to be conscious of the prohibited activities is not really required, because he's already always accepting the prescribed activities. And he gets all his satisfaction, he gets his nourishment, gets devotion, direct experience of Krishna, detachment from material. They're all coming because he's connected. Just like Krishna says, for one who's connected with the Supreme, he cannot have a controlled mind. One who's actually connected with Krishna, his mind can never be controlled. Excuse me, he has a controlled mind. One who's not connected with Krishna cannot have a controlled mind. So the point is, this verse, to always remember Krishna and never forget him, to always accept prescribed activities and prohibited activities, it means that obviously it applies to somebody who can't always remember Krishna. Because he has to be conscious of the prohibited activities. Therefore, how can one say satatam means always in this verse? It doesn't mean always. But what does it mean? Instead, it means every day. Every day. Because one who always remembers Krishna doesn't have to think about, I have to be careful that I don't forget him. One who's always following the prescribed activities, he doesn't have to think about the things I'm not supposed to do. Why should he bother? He's already following the things he's supposed to do. Why does he have to think about, I shouldn't be doing, I shouldn't. Doesn't have to think about it, because he's fixed. So he cannot always think of Krishna. Therefore, always thinking of Krishna in this verse means every day. And that is what the regulative principles of devotional service is that Krishna is speaking about. When he says, Arjuna, if you can't always fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of devotional service. In this way, you'll develop a desire to attain me. Now, the regulative principles of devotional service, they're not very hard. Anybody who's, I mean, sometimes I say, well, if I can extract 10 minutes out of the day to think of Krishna, that's a major success in my life. Get up 10 minutes earlier. Immediately extract the 10 minutes. I mean, there is a way to do it. There's will is a way. If one actually feels the need to have some connection, if one feels the need, I'm floundering. I spoke speaking to one devotee today, and we both agreed that If one's not fixed on Krishna, it's like treading water. It's like, yeah, I just, my whole life is just trying to how to keep myself from going under. And there's no goal of it all. It's just how my goal of my life is to keep myself from going under. I don't know if any of you have that experience, but if you do and you can relate to it, then this devotee could relate to it that I was speaking to today. Yeah. There must be more to life than just keeping oneself from going under. That's not a very high goal in life. Neither is sense gratification. Kamasya nyendriya patiya labo jivita yavada jivasya tattva jigyasya nato yascheha karmabhi. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live only because the human form of life enables one to inquire into the absolute truth. That should be the goal of all of one's work. Sutta Goswami. We are simply representing his statements. So, therefore, for anyone who realizes the need, the necessity to transcend the dualities of this world by aspiring to fix one's consciousness on transcendence and not simply, you know, how to keep myself from going under, then Krishna can help. Ananyas chintayatomam ye janak payopasante tesham nitya payoptanam yoga kshema vahamyaha. To those who are always endeavoring to meditate upon me, right? Meditate on my transcendental form. For them, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Krishna kicks in the extra. All right, you're lacking? I'll throw it in because you're at least you're trying. I'll throw it in. I'll give you some taste. I'll appear to you someday and I'll, Haribo. I'm here to help you. The rope may come from somebody else's hands, but it's Krishna. It's Krishna acting because we're making the effort. So the point is, and I didn't even get to speak about what I wanted to speak about, but the point is that it is attainable. It is approachable. This is not something for only highly elevated people to think that this is relevant to achieve all. One who is not envious, kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. It's there. It's accessible. Why? Because we just gave the reason why. Because Krishna sees the intention. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam pittipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam inam amupayantite. To those who are always endeavoring, worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Tesham ivano karpantam aham agyana jam tama. Out of compassion for them, I, who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Krishna's there. He's in the heart. He's witness. He knows. He already knows what the intention is. You don't have to come and tell him what your intention is. He knows what lip service is. He can make the distinction. He's already there. You can pay lip service. But he knows what your intention is because he knows better than you do. He's in the heart. When a person is next to a flower, he knows the fragrance of the flower. He can smell it. And Krishna's right there in the heart. He knows all the desires. He knows the intention. If we simply develop the desire to attain him by following these regulative principles of bhakti yoga, by every day hearing about him, chanting about him, and simply trying to remember him. That is all. Everything else, the door to eternality, to devotional service, immediately will open to him. Anyone, That is what Srila Prabhupada came to give. It's kind, compassion, and mercy upon all of us who had forgotten Krishna completely. I have to stop you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I have to stop here because we have an announcement. Where is Nitin? Okay. One way Srila Prabhupada manifested his compassion and his mercy, which was made an indelible impression in his followers, especially during his manifest presence, is when he told his disciples, "I will live forever in my books." For us, who experienced the anguish and separation of his departure in 1977, that was our lifeline. That was our connection. If I go back and just remember that moment when I found that my spiritual master left this planet, I cannot find the words to describe it. But he assured us that I will live forever in my books. So, for those who dedicate their lives to his mission and wish to assist him in his compassion, compassionate way of contacting, I can testify how he reached out and contacted. I met Srila Prabhupada in Brentano's on, I can't remember the name of the street in Washington, D.C. It was in a bookstore. I walked into a bookstore looking for a book on yoga. I found a Bhagavad Gita as it is sitting on the bookshelf. Looked at the picture inside and saw a yogi sitting in meditation. I said, "This looks like a good book on yoga." And I purchased it. It was 1972, early 1972 in Washington, D.C. And I later found out, about 25 years later, I found out that one devotee went into the bookstore and dropped it on the shelf. It wasn't even in the inventory of the bookstore. They charged me for it, but the price was on the back of the book. But it wasn't even in the inventory of the bookstore. One devotee, his name was Damodar, but it was a different Damodar, my god brother Damodar, had gone in and dropped that book. I picked it up, purchased it. Prabhupada said, "These books are like torpedoes. You never know where they're going to land." I could tell so many stories, but I don't have the time. It's 2 minutes to six, and Nitin still has to speak. But anyways, there are many devotees who have assisted Srila Prabhupada this year in 2011 by distributing his books and by manifesting Srila Prabhupada's compassion to others. And Nitin would like to mention that this evening. Where did you go? Oh, there you are, Nitin. I thought you were. So please do so. And I'm sorry if I didn't leave enough time, but maybe they'll hold the conch shell long enough for you to finish.
I would just like to mention the list of devotees today who have, I may have missed some names, but who have helped this temple this year, in 2011, last year actually, in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Last year we had a goal, Maharaj, as Maharaj had set the goal for 2011, we had the goal to distribute 11,000 Srila Prabhupada's books. And the final number for 2011 is 11,587 books. Thank you. I'll quickly go over the list so we don't take too much time. They're in alphabetical order, not in order of priority. List of devotees are Advaita Chandra and family, Brendan, Chaita Guru Prabhu and family, Chaita Mai, Chirag, Bhakta Dan, Daryl, Deepak Prabhu and family, devotee from Latvia. I can't remember your name. What is your name? No, your name. Your name is there. It's Anantanithai Prabhu, Jagannath Das, Jatin and Dorothy, Jairam and Shashi, Jayesh Prabhu, Jishnu, Kamal and family, Lakshman Prabhu and family, Lakshmi Narayan Prabhu, Madhavendra Puri Prabhu, Mahavishnu Prabhu, Mahavishnu's mom, Manish Puri, my brother, Mother Gauri, Mother Harinam, Mother Neelam, Nandanandana, Param Rupa and family, Poonam Thakur and family, Rachel, Ram Rai Prabhu, Raman Chopra, Ravanari, Rohini Nandan Prabhu, Romapad Maharaj, Sankirtan Mataji, Satyanarayan Prabhu, Somal and family, Sendal and family with Cuckoo, who is a 5-year-old girl, old girl, distributed 10 Krishna books with me on Independence Day. So that was pretty huge. Srinivas Prabhu and family, my Guru Maharaj Vashishkar Prabhu, Vidya and Ishwar, Sureshwar, Vrindavan, Vinodini Devi Dasi. I'm sure there, if I miss someone, and actually one more, Yamuna Jeevana Prabhu. And if I missed anybody, thank you very much. And Maharaj, just one goal. We have a request to set us the goal for 2012. So.
I better say it now so it could be confirmed by the conch shell. 12,000 books.